In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of Noah and his ark. I expect we've told this many times to children. I know that I have. But let me just remind you of a few of these details of this account. In Genesis chapter 6, we find that God sees the world and its wickedness. He sees that every inclination of man's heart is evil. And we read that God is grieved and pained by this. And also that he decides that he is going to flood the world, to destroy the world with a flood. But Noah finds favor with God. And he instructs Noah to build an ark, some form of boat, in which he and his family are to go, and also the animals. And we're familiar with the story. The rains come and the floods come, but Noah, his family, and the animals are safe. And then we find that the floods subside. Noah comes out of the ark, offers a sacrifice, and God establishes a covenant with Noah. And as we said, at the center of this concept of covenant is a promise with an oath. So we find that here God makes clear, commits himself with this promise. In fact, we can read it in verse 11. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. What we're going to do this morning, very briefly, is first of all to consider this commitment, this promise of the Lord. Then, to whom is this covenant made? Secondly, and then finally, the sign of this covenant. Let us take the first point. This commitment of the Lord in this covenant. God promises that he will not destroy the world with a flood. And as we think about this, we may well wonder, well, why did God make such a promise? Why promise not to do this again? And if we stop and think about it, and we put ourselves in the shoes of Noah and his family, we can imagine how we'd feel. We've just seen how seriously God takes sin. So seriously that he's prepared to destroy the world. And can we imagine how insecure we would be without having such a promise? We'd be all the time worried about, well, is God going again to destroy the world with a flood? It'd be hard to live life with such uncertainty. But God gives this promise. But also, as we look at other parts of the scripture, as we look at in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we find there another reason. There in 2 Peter chapter 3, we find that Peter is dealing with the issue of scoffers, people who did not believe that the Lord was going to come a second time. And he also, at this point, also mentions the judgment, because that would also happen with the coming of the Lord. And also the flood. And in this context, he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand it. But God is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to him in repentance. And so the argument of Peter there is that God delays in judgment to give us an opportunity to turn away from sin and to turn to him in repentance and faith. And so if we stop and think about it, one reason for this promise to be made, that this promise was made, that God is patient and that this is an opportunity for us to turn away from our sins and turn to God in faith. And as we've mentioned many times before, this is not something we just do. Oh, I did this when I was a 15-year-old or whatever. It's not a once-for-all thing that we do. But as Christians, we again and again find, don't we, that we have to turn away from our sins and turn to get again to God in repentance and faith. So we can ask ourselves, are we making the most of this opportunity to turn to God in faith and repentance? Secondly, as we look at this, we see to whom God is making this covenant. He makes it with Noah and his descendants, and also with all the animals. So we can see from this how important creation is with God. It is so important that he makes this covenant with all the people who are to live and with all the animals. And if we think about it, this covenant then has been made not just with Noah and his family, but it's been made with you and with me as well. And not only just with us, but with the people in China, in Africa, in South America, in Asia, in any part of the world, God has made this covenant with them. And then as we begin to think about it, as we look through the history, as we go through the Old Testament and into the New, we see that this is like the beginning of God's plan, as it were. He's like laying out the work surface for building his church, for gathering his people together, for saving the world. As we look through the history of Scripture, we find, for instance, in the Old Testament, in Psalm 67, a prayer that the peoples of the earth, that the nations might praise him. We find in Isaiah chapter 2, all the nations coming together and wishing to learn of God and learn of his ways. And then, in the light of that, it's no surprise that in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says to the disciples after his resurrection, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you." So what we can see then, that this is like the beginning of this great plan to save the world, the great plan to build his church, the great plan of God to gather his people together. God is concerned for, we might describe, the mission of the world. He's concerned to save the world. Now, if this is God's concern, God is concerned about people in different lands and concerned for the growth of his church in other places, well, surely these should also be our concerns as well. So we can again look at ourselves and ask ourselves, have we got a concern for the church in different lands? Are we concerned for the gathering of God's people in different parts of the world? Thirdly, as we look at this covenant, we see that it has a sign. In our passage, the word that they used was a bow, but we understand it as a rainbow. And how many times have we seen a rainbow? It's wonderful, in fact, when we do see it. I don't know about you, but it always creates a little bit of excitement. There's a rainbow. But how many times, I don't know about you, but certainly with myself, as I've looked at the rainbow, I've started to think about this passage. I've started to think about God's promise never to destroy the world with a flood. Because I've seen that rainbow, I've remembered what God has promised. And that's interesting as we think about it. The sign is used to bring to memory his promises. But you know, God has not just made a covenant with us here, which we read about in Genesis 9, but we also have another covenant made with us, don't we? In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31 and following. And that passage in the Old Testament is a very important passage and easy to remember. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 and following, 2 31s. Then we find that God promises a new covenant. And he promises his people that he'll be their God, they will be his people, he would remember their wickedness and sins no more, and that the law of the Lord would be written upon their heart and upon their mind. And we know when Christ came, when he died upon the cross, that this covenant was ratified. This covenant was made. Just think of the words just before Jesus died. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But if there is a sign for this covenant in the Old Testament, this covenant which was made, established at the time of Noah, is there any signs, or are there any signs for this new covenant? I don't know if you can think about it in your minds. Well, what about baptism and the Lord's Supper? You know, we often call these means of grace, along with the preaching of the word. And by that we mean that God uses them to strengthen us and to help us in our spiritual life. And of course, if we neglect them, then it also means that our spiritual life suffers. When we come to consider the Lord's Supper, in one sense we could even consider it as a renewal of God's covenant, because we come with an attitude, don't we, of sorrow for sins. We desire to repent and turn away from the things we've been doing wrong. And we also remember the promises of God, that there's forgiveness because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked over this passage and seen this covenant. We've seen that God has made a promise never to destroy the world with a flood. And we've reminded ourselves that this is an opportunity for us to turn to him in faith and turn away from our sins. We've also seen to whom it is made, to Noah and his descendants, and also to the animals. And we're seeing that this is all part of God's plan to save the world and to build his church in this world. And finally, we saw, thirdly, that the sign of this covenant here in Genesis 9 was the rainbow. And the signs of the new covenant are baptism and the Lord's Supper. So as we go in the coming weeks, as we look at a rainbow, let us remember the promise of God here in Genesis 9, that he will never again destroy the world with a flood. And also as we come in a few minutes and we come and take the Lord's Supper, let us come with a sense of sorrow for our sins, for the things we've done wrong, determining to change our lives, and also to remember God's promise that he forgives us for our sins because of the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.